Welcome to the IonaHoops.com podcast with your host, Guy Filotico.
Season 4, Episode 6 of the IonaHoops.com podcast is here, and with it comes our first game previews of the season as the Gales get ready to do the Charleston. And we'll even have a guest to help us take a deeper waltz into that one. We'll also look at our second game of the season against Sacred Heart, which has a new twist to it, if you will. Wow. It's a lot of dance moves already in this episode, and I'm showing my age. And with that in mind, let's get crunkin' to a couple Iona Iotas.
Iona Iotas.
Meet the new Mac, same as the old Mac. No, not really, but the Mac has turned to the NEC once again to replenish and announced that Merrimack and Sacred Heart will be joining the league. I mean, these are as good as can be expected to be pulled in at this point. You're not going to get anyone to come down to the Mac. So the league is now going up to 13 teams. Is anyone leaving? Quite possible, but nothing announced as of yet. Just basically rumors of a couple different schools, maybe with little money problems, might be dropping down, or maybe some other schools in the MAC with some aspirations of going to a higher conference. Who knows? But nothing announced, nothing formal. Realignment is always ongoing. So let's keep an eye on this now that these two moves were just made.
Iona.
As the Gales prep to get ready for Charleston on November 6th, don't forget to register at IonaGales.com for the season tip-off event November 3rd. How about some news on a couple secret scrimmages? Feel like kissing your sister? Too bad, because Iona and Fordham faced off in a scrimmage format and finished in a 59-all tie. As the score suggests, the defense was quite stellar. And rumor has it, there was an additional 8-minute scrimmage session that not included as part of the score that featured the freshmen and sophomores for each team, and Iona won that comfortably. We know, it's only Fordham, quote-unquote, but the Rams are picked to finish in the top half of the A-10, so all in all, that's really not a bad result at all. And then yesterday, Iona traveled up to UMass for another scrimmage. The Minutemen are actually picked closer to the bottom of the A-10, and Iona lost this one 78-72. Not much info out there on this one. A UMass person noted that Iona looked stagnant in the second half against the UMass zone defense, but all told, 72 points isn't a terrible output anyway. Further, I know for a fact that we were without at least one of our most important players in this one due to injury, so that does impact how we'd play on both ends, and I really wouldn't read too much into this result. It is a scrimmage. We wouldn't read too much into the result no matter what happened. But anyway, here's hoping we are healthy for that opener in 8 days.
Iona.
Like the men, the women's team is starting things off tough and then returning home to take on an NEC school. And Jamillo's squad travels to see our old friend Tony Bazella and Seton Hall to start off their season on Tuesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. The Lady Pirates were picked 5th in the Big East preseason poll, so this is going to be one heck of a test for the Gales. Following that game on Sunday, November 12th at 5 p.m., the Lady Gales will host LIU to kick off the home slate. Here's wishing for a strong start to the season for the team. You missed it, you wanted it, and now you got it. The Offer Roundup.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Got a couple of unofficial visits to report on, starting off with top 150 player Naz Hart out of Hackensack. The 2025 6'8 forward is a 4-star on ESPN and a 3-star on 247 and On3, with offers from Miami, Seton Hall, and Northern Illinois, and interest from Northwestern. He unofficially visited Iona a couple weeks back. Impact player for sure, and apparently we have a connection, as he and Sultan Alawali are friends. Let's see if we can steal him from the majors. We also had an unofficial visit a couple weeks back from 2025 6'4 guard Mason Ellison out of Maryland. He also took recent unofficials to URI and Howard, and in addition to those two schools, has offers from Maryland, Towson, Delaware, Mount St. Mary's, American, and others. All right, they're back. Game previews. We're going to take a look at both the Charleston and Sacred Heart games before welcoming in our guest to dive a bit deeper into the road tilt against the Cougars. one of the great mid-major media darlings a year ago. No, I'm not talking about Deandre Gales and the coach who shall not be named. Heck, I'm not even talking about Tobin Anderson and FDU. I'm talking about the Charleston Cougars. They were 31-4 last year and were the victim of mid-on-mid crime in the NCAAs with a six-point first-round loss to San Diego State, which went on all the way to the NCAA Finals before losing to UConn. A special, fantastic year for sure. But that was last year, and three double-digit scores have departed from the Cougars. Surely Charleston's coming back down to earth as a mid-major, right? Right? Hello? Bueller? Not so fast. CEA Media Day just went by, and the Cougars were almost unanimously picked first. Why? Well, they've got some horses back and also hit the portal, and whammo, loaded again. Their top seven is going to pack one heck of a punch. We start with the returnees. 6'2 junior guard Rayne Smith averaged about 11 per game, made 34% from three. 6'10 junior forward Ante Brozovic contributed 11.6 points and six boards. 6'7 junior Ben Burnham averaged about 9-4 and made nearly 45% from three. Then portal time. 6'9 grad forward Frankie Policelli from Stony Brook brings nearly 14 points and 9 boards and 37% 3-point shooting to Charleston. And 6'2 junior guard CJ Fulton joins from Lafayette, where he averaged 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals, and made nearly 39% from 3. How about two more interesting wild cards? 6'5 grad guard Bryce Butler and 6'3 junior guard Kobe Rogers. Both were solid D2 players on opposing teams in the national title game. Like I said, loaded. So what makes Charleston so good? They play fast, they make threes, they hit the glass on both ends, and they ain't too bad on the defensive side either. Now, with the new pieces in place, they'll probably need a little time, like Iona, to find their footing. I'd be surprised if they are super sharp here in game one against us. But unlike Iona, they are at home, and they do have some returnees comfortable in that system. Make no mistake, this is a rough first test for us, so we'll learn a lot about the Gales in this one. So, not sure what's going to happen down in Charleston, but good or bad, no matter what, the effects can't linger because just 4 days later, we're back at it in our home opener with another challenge. Newly minted MAC member Sacred Heart pays a visit, and the Pioneers are no joke, picked first in the NEC preseason poll. It all starts with Nico Gallette, a 6'6 senior forward who averaged 15.4 points and 6.7 boards per game, and he enters as the NEC Preseason Player of the Year. The athletic combo forward can do a little bit of everything. He's going to be the focal point of the Iona defensive effort for sure. You want some MAC flavor from this one? We got that. Joey Riley, a 6-foot grad guard, returns. He averaged 12 and shot 39% from three. Former walk-on at Fairfield, who's now an all-NEC player. They've also got Raheem Solomon, another MAC name, 6'3 grad guard originally, was at Niagara. He averaged 10.5 last year for Sacred Heart. And also, Siena transfer, Aiden Carpenter, remember him? 6'5 junior? He averaged 9.4 for Sacred Heart. Want some intrigue? The Pios have that too, in the form of 6'8 forward Alexander Sobel, a transfer from Middlebury College and the Division III National Player of the Year. So, nice mix of experience and talent here, the NEC favorites. And with the Gales at home here, this feels more important than you'd think to get this one, especially coming off whatever might happen down in Charleston. And speaking of Charleston, let's get back to our season opener against the Cougars now. We welcome to the podcast Joe Wright, a Charleston grad and bracketologist. You can find him on Twitter at SCTVMan, and his blog is at carolinasportsthoughts.wordpress.com. All right, fans, we got Joe Wright with us. He is a Charleston grad, season ticket holder, and a bracketologist. You can find him on Twitter at SCTVMan, And his blog is at CarolinaSportsThoughts at WordPress, .wordpress.com. Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Guy. I'm very happy to be here in beautiful weather, enjoying everything, getting ready for this basketball season. Very excited for everybody.
This is a cool time of year because there's like 362 fan bases that are all feeling positive and have belief for their teams. And then, you know, by the time the first month is over, half of them are finished. So, but anyway, this is going to be a fun one, I think, for both of us here. I think there's, you know, fan bases that expect a lot. So this is going to be a treat for both programs, I think, here. I have to go back to last year. I mean, what Charleston accomplished last year, it's just so special for a mid-major program. And I, you know, with 31-4, I think. And I like the, you know, the term everybody uses online is mid on mid crime. When you play yet another good, really strong mid major in the first round of the NCAA tournament, of course, that team goes on and goes all the way to the finals against UConn, which makes you say, geez, well, we were right there. We could have been in that final against UConn. You never know. So tell me about last year, what that was like as a fan going through that. Could you see that coming from the beginning of the season, or was it kind of like a complete surprise all the way through?
It was absolutely not. It was like, I mean, this last season was just so, we started off slow. I mean, we had to play overtime, replayed Richmond, took us to overtime. I mean, then the Charleston Classic happened. You could kind of tell that something special was happening. When we blew out Davidson, like our big old SoCon rival. Then we played Colorado State. We won one pretty big, and then the Virginia Tech game, that was like the catalyst, that game that Pat Robinson got the big shot with a few seconds left, sold out, student section was full, ESPN2, I mean, couldn't ask for better atmosphere. And then we started getting votes, and then bam, it was like we had so many good teams. We played Kent State, and then all the through December. Then it was amazing. January 2nd, when they got ranked, the excitement was through the roof. I mean, they started selling out games from then, because Charleston's a very, there's no other pro sports teams here. The closest team is in Charlotte. So all the energy is on the Charleston basketball, and people are just pumped. I mean, through the season, I mean, they lost a couple games in the conference. I mean, they got unranked. When they lost to Hofstra at home, nobody saw that coming. I mean, they saw Hofstra was a good team, but they didn't think that they'd beat us. And then Drexel beat us at the buzzer, and that was kind of a shock to the system. But then they rebounded and then got to the conference tournament, and then they beat UNCW in the final. I mean, it was such an exciting time. All the fans, all the students were going crazy. And then when they realized that the tournament was in Orlando, which was a close flight, or like a 7-hour drive, very easy to get to. And it was a midday game, but there were so many Charleston fans. They're just sad to see how close they got to being the darlings of March, but then they had nothing to show for it.
Yeah. And you know, when you're a good mid-major, like Iona was last year, you start to look at other good majors and the hype they're getting. And it's like, you know, how good are these guys really? And then you look and you see some of the scores and everything. And then you get to watch them, because everybody gets to tune in on championship week, and you start to watch some of the games. And I remember watching Charleston throughout that tournament, just thinking, all right, yeah, they're good. They're really good. So that, yeah, very special year for you guys last year. For sure. So it must have been really something for a fan. So let's transition a bit here. So you guys lose some talent, but you gain some talent. Talk about what you've lost and maybe a couple of the big pieces you have coming in.
Yeah, Dalton Bowen. We lose Dalton Bowen. I mean, he was like our junkyard dog. I mean, he transferred in from West Liberty, and then Ryan Larson, our point guard, and Pat Robinson. But Bowen and Robinson were the two from the same school in West Virginia, West Liberty. I mean, they were the kind of the glue, but we also had a few other guys transfer. I mean, you had Raekwon Horton transfer. Then you had Babacar Fai. I mean, he had some high flyers. I mean, but this year, it's like what we're concerned about. I mean, we have so much going on with new players. I mean, it's a whole new team, kind of, but we got three very important guys coming back: Rain Smith, Ante Berzovic, and then the other guy we have coming back is Ben Burnham. I mean, Ben Burnham, Smith, and Berzovic are the three key guys on the roster.
I know you guys hit the portal really well. out of the new guys, I mean, there's a couple of choices there you can go with. Out of the guys coming in from the portal, who are you most excited about?
I'm excited about Policelli. I mean, we saw him. He played for Stony Brook, which was just joined our league last year. I mean, we played him twice in three games at the end of the season. And, I mean, he was really he had 20-something points, 25 points against us. He got blown out, but he was, like, the only thing that was keeping Stony Brook in the game. I mean, he's a local. I mean, you guys would know him from – he's from Long Island, Stony Brook. And then there's so much him and then the other guys. I mean, we got some new freshmen coming in that will be very exciting. That two guys from North Carolina, that Meyer Wohl and James Scott, people are talking about as high flyers. But, I mean, we got my new pick. Got to get better with that. But they have their own experience. But then we also had some guys that redshirted last year, Crawford and – few others that they're going to be major contributors, hopefully, that they need to be. They're going to be put into the fire pretty quickly. I mean, with this game, because after Iona, I mean, they don't have another home game for like 5 weeks. So it's a big, big litmus test.
What is the first game you have after the Iona game? Just so I know.
Iona, we play Duquesne in a tournament in Annapolis. In Annapolis, Maryland, CBS Sports Network. And then we got the Myrtle Beach Invitational. And we got Vermont first. And then there's like St. Louis and a couple other tough games. I mean, we aren't home until like the middle of December when the students are off campus. So it's going to be a while. I mean, we have FAU in there at FAU and Liberty. They have a Field of 68 tournament. So there's a lot of game. We got some games because of last year we wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Right. And this is a schedule that's built for an at-large bid, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. It's like we had so much, but just you have to be pretty much perfect in the CAA. The CAA has so many like bad and not good teams. I mean, last year we were us and Wilmington were like the two teams that everybody was gunning for, but then Hofstra ended up getting the number one seed because they had the same conference record and they beat us in the in Charleston. So it was very interesting conference tournament because of that.
Yeah, no question. So tell us about what makes Charleston, what makes this system so good and so talented, besides just the players that are there. What makes them so dangerous?
Coach Kelsey, I mean, he just makes everything click. The first year he came in, he didn't have very much. He had so much to get. He had to recruit all the players. I mean, he had a brand new team. I mean, Coach Grant, when he went to Boston College, I mean, most of the team transferred. I mean, we basically had a bare cupboard. But, I mean, the first year when we won 17 games and nobody thought we would even win, maybe we'd win 10 or 12. And people thought he was going to do something. But then last year, and this came upon the scene, I mean, there's not many coaches that run his system 25 strong. That's just like his motto, mantra. And then all his line change, like hockey line change offense. Mm-hmm. You don't see that at any level of college basketball, pretty much. I mean, his system is unique, and he has a very bright mind, and he has good assistant coaches, and his whole system, I mean, weightlifting. I mean, his guy, Eli Foy, his strength coaches, changed several of the players' physiques very easily, very quickly.
Yeah, so he's got a great rep, and of course, we know well about him up here too. Are you surprised he didn't move on and take a high major job somewhere?
I mean, I was surprised. I mean, last year was just, there's so many jobs, but I mean, like a school like, you know, that has a big basketball acumen, like a West Virginia or somebody, I was surprised that they wouldn't try and get him. I mean, but I mean, this year, especially, I mean, if he has another year, I mean, there's so much excitement. I mean, he makes over $1 million now at Charleston, which is amazing for a mid-major. I mean, but there's so much support. I mean, they sold out all their season tickets for the whole season. I mean, you don't see many mid-major teams that have the fan base that Charleston does.
Okay, well, we can look at the Iona-Charleston matchup. You know, on paper, everybody's looking forward to it. You know, two really good mid-majors going at it. You know, and we talked a little bit offline before, you know, but I mean, Iona's roster is completely overhauled from last year. We're really not quite sure what we have, but we certainly believe in Tobin Anderson. He's an exciting guy. Just gets you pumped up for the team. Looking at what, say, KenPom, for instance, the line in this game would be probably about 8 or 9 points. I think it could turn out to be a little higher than that. So Charleston, it's fair to say that they're quote unquote expected to win. If Charleston wins this game, let's say, you know, comfortably doubled figures, would they do well? Why did they win this game?
I mean, they did. I mean, their speed, I mean, everything, just all the players. I mean, they have more depth than Iona. I mean, having all the guys that they have. I mean, that's what something that Coach Kelsey's been preaching. I mean, they have depth even this year. I mean, they have transfers from all over. I mean, the two D2 guys that they got, they're probably going to play a part. I mean, also, I mean, rebounding the big deal with Coach Kelsey with his guy Berzovitz. I mean, he can get a lot of rebounds. I mean, there's a lot of players that could help with that. I mean, he's pretty much they have to have a good style, and think that he'll get him going this game. I mean, but they're after slow start, so Kyle the Charleston can't afford to have a slow start in this game. They don't want it to be a close game, because, you know, Iona, I mean, even with the new coach, I mean, I feel like people, the name Charleston fans know, I mean, they'll be amped for this game, but you never know what could happen.
Well, and let's flip that. You know, let's say this is a tight game that Charleston wins, or let's say Iona goes in there and finds a way to get out of there with a W. What went wrong for Charleston?
I mean, turnovers. I mean, there have maybe the new guys not messing together. Like, when there's so many several redshirt freshmen on the team that have never played. I mean, they redshirted all last year. I mean, they learned a system, but they've never been in a atmosphere. I mean, 5,000 people, full student section. I mean, Iona might have. I mean, Iona, Tobin Anderson. I mean, they took his team to Fairleigh Dickinson to the second round last year. I mean, he probably used to it, but I mean, he's got to get his guys. But the guys might not be used to it. But I mean, they feel like that they need more, better to do, and that'll help them.
Okay. And I guess lastly for you, I know it's, as a fan, it's tough to do this, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. What is your expectation for Charleston this year? I mean, 31-4 might be too much to ask, right? Or is it?
No, I don't know. I mean, this year, just, I don't know. I mean, 31 wins. I mean, there's this unbelievable season. I mean, they never thought that we'd have even 20 wins last year. For us, was supposed to be like a good year. I mean, we didn't think we'd be, I mean, we're picked first in the league, but I mean, we have a tough schedule. I mean, CAA, you never know. I mean, all it could take is a couple bounces to go your way, and that could change your whole season. But I mean, the non-conference, I feel like Coach Kelsey playing to get a better, you know, better seed in the tournament. With Florida last year, I think a 12 seed against San Diego State. I mean, tough to get a 12 seed out of a league that was in the 20s in KenPom. Mm-hmm. And they had a bunch of teams that if you lost to them, they're complete albatrosses to your season. I mean, but feel like if they get another 23, 24, 25 wins, I mean, then they got to win 14 likely in the conference to get first place, or 15, and feel like that'll be successful. But I mean, they just, a lot of excitement, just people, students are ready to go. They line up, we'll be lined up hours before the game, trying to get the tickets to get in, and then they'll be all in the arena very early. Game's at 7 o'clock. They'll probably be in there before 6 o'clock, sitting down and getting ready and taunting the players. You never know, but that's the way they are. Charleston, I mean, that's gotten to be very, very popular in this part of the country. And I feel like that another season like last year is not going to happen, but I feel like that they're definitely capable of another tournament run.
I have to ask you another question before you go, and it's about one of your league mates, Hofstra. So Iona and Hofstra, as you probably know, normally play most years, not every year, but most years. The last couple of years we've played have been really tight games. Last year they beat us by 5 out at their place. This year we might actually, there's a chance we'll play them twice. We're in the Gulf Coast tournament. Down in Fort Myers, and they're on the other side of the bracket. So we might see them there. And then we are actually hosting them this year too. So what do you quick thought on Hofstra from you?
Hofstra, I mean, losing Estrada, I mean, that's a tough, very tough loss for Hofstra, but and going to Arkansas, but I mean, they're really good again. I mean, they'll probably be it'll be tough non-conference game. I mean, I think they're picked fourth in the conference like preseason standing. So, and their Petey Claxton's got them going again. I mean, it is just they struggled in the conference tournament last year, man. They lost to Wilmington, the lower seed in the semifinals. I mean, they should have won that game, but they have a lot of good players coming back, and I feel like that they will be just the same. I mean, you got a clear like top four in that league in the CAA. You got Charleston, you got Wilmington, you got Drexel, you got Hofstra. I feel like those teams are all very capable of pulling some upsets in the non-conference and then getting into February, March. I mean, they're top four. I mean, they match up with any league in mid-major in the country. And I feel like the Hofstra is right there. Be a tough game when they play over in New Rochelle.
All right. Well, our guest here has been Joe Wright. He is a bracketologist. You can find him on Twitter at SCTVman. And his blog is at carolinasportsthoughts.wordpress.com. Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to us and teach us a little bit about Charleston basketball, which, of course, we know, but we've only see from a distance. So it's cool that we're getting this game here with you guys now. And and again, it is a series. So next year you're coming up, as far as I know. I think this is the way of the future. Good mid-majors playing each other in series is because the majors are all scared. So hopefully we continue to see games like this. And thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I know there's a lot of Charleston alums. I think our second most alumni in the country are called the Charleston alums are in the New York Tri-State area. I'm sort of some people that have connections with Iona and glad to be coming to New Rochelle next year. I mean, there'll be a lot of people. It'll be a very exciting game, good atmosphere, both sides. I mean, looking forward to it, all the hoopla first game and then everything that happens after that.
Well, once again, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. Let's hope we put on a good show here in game one of the season, and then good luck to both teams the rest of the way. Thank you again.
Good luck. I mean, thank you so much. I mean, enjoyed talking to you, and hopefully I'll be listening in the future.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks to Joe Wright for joining the podcast, and thank you for listening and for what was a very long off season of new gales and recruit reports and all that fun stuff. The games are back now, though, and it's time to buckle in. Go Gales.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the IonaHoops.com podcast. This podcast is a production of IonaHoops.com with publisher Guy Filotico. The opinions shared during this podcast are those of Guy Filotico, IonaHoops.com, and any featured guests. This podcast is not affiliated with Iona University Athletics or the university itself. Thank you for supporting IonaHoops.com.